If you'll turn back again to the book of Proverbs. We come this morning to continue our series looking at wise words for godly living. And this morning we are thinking about wise words for when we are angry. Sometimes it just makes my blood boil. Don't bottle up your anger. Let it out. Sometimes it's good to vent your anger rather than storing it all up inside. Most of us have probably heard people say things like that. Some of us have maybe even said things like that to others. It's advice that at times can sound rather good. But is it? What are we to do with our anger when we feel our blood starting to boil, when we feel ourselves becoming enraged over a situation or over frustration because of certain circumstances? What advice should we take? Well, we turn to the Spirit-filled Word of God. And here we find not just advice, but what God says is best. What God says is the perfect response when we are angry. And here in Proverbs we have wise words for when we are angry. And the advice that we are taking, I want to take it from Proverbs 29, verse 11. This is our key verse. A verse that we can take away with us this week. A verse that we can have in front of our minds. A verse that we can say to ourselves when we start to feel that sense of injustice. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. This verse is saying a fool lets his anger out, but a wise man calms it down, restrains it. I want to look at this verse under three headings as we think of wise words for when we are angry. The first thing I want us to think about is the cause of our anger. The cause of our anger. In verse 11 here, the word spirit is referring to the fool's emotions. And in particular, it's referring to his wrath or his temper. Some translations use the word wrath or anger. But notice here that both the fool and the wise man experience a sense of anger. One gives full vent to that anger, but the other quiets it. So what is the cause of this anger? Well, look at the context of this verse, the verses surrounding it, and in particular leading up to it. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 is speaking of justice. And then in verse 6, we have an evil man and a righteous man. And then in verse 7, this righteous man is upholding justice. So justice is a theme that is flowing through these verses. And the righteous man loves justice. And in particular here, it's the oppression of the poor that he wants to see changed. Verse 9. The wise man and the fool are arguing. The fool just gets more angry. Verse 10. Here again we have injustice. Bloodthirsty men seeking the life of the upright. So the context is one of injustice. Certain wrongs are being done to people. And isn't this generally the cause of our anger? When we feel that we have been wronged in some way, we feel a sense of injustice. Injustice has either been committed against us or it's been committed against others. We're displeased with the way a certain situation has worked itself out. We've been disadvantaged. Or like I was saying in the children's address, we just say, it's not fair. Our own sense of our own rights have been violated. And this drives much of our anger. The only problem is that more often than not, this anger comes from our own sinful desires. In James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, James is dealing with anger. And this is what James writes to the Christians in James 4, verses 1 and 2. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Sometimes our sense of injustice is twisted because of our own sinful desires. Think of the child in the supermarket. They're walking through, or they're sitting in the trolley. The mother's pushing them along or holding them by the hand. They walk down past the aisle with toys in it. I want one of those. No, you have enough toys. That's not fair. They pass down another aisle, and there's the chocolate, the sweets. Can I have some chocolate? Can I have some sweets? No, you'll be getting your dinner soon. That's not fair. And then they get up to the checkout, and there is the last ditch effort by the supermarket to sell the children some more sweets. They're just sitting there in those little racks, the little Kinder Surprise. Can I have one of those? I've already said no. That's not fair. We smirk a little bit at the little child. But isn't that us? Our twistedness, our sinful desires. Often we view injustice as not suiting us. And so we say, that's not fair. I never get what I want. I'm never allowed the things that I want. Things never turn out right for me. Everyone picks on me. Because of our anger. It comes from a feeling of injustice. But how often are we like the child? Perhaps not getting that promotion when you deserved it. The boss giving you extra work when others seem to do so little. The housework that you have to do when other people in the household don't do anything else. Getting home from work and no one else understands the pressure that you've been under. Nobody else understands the hours of work and what you've had to put up with. And you get home and people are demanding your time and your attention. There's other things to do. And we just say to ourselves, it's not fair. Or that nasty thing that someone said to us. That hurt that someone caused us. There's a sense of injustice. It's just not fair. But we say to ourselves, well, it's okay to be angry. Well, Jesus got angry in the temple. The Bible makes it clear that God is angry at sin. Well, yes, Christ Jesus did get angry in the temple. He drove out the money changers because they were misusing the place of worship. And God is a holy God, and God hates sin. And he's angry at sin. We should never forget that when we do wrong, when we cross God's law, when we transgress, when we twist God's commands to suit us, We should never forget that God is a righteous God, and He is angry at sin. And so I suppose when our anger is inspired, when our anger is perfectly righteous like God's anger, when our anger is without sin, without fault on our part, when our anger doesn't come from any selfish motive or any selfish desire within us, then I suppose we can be angry. But until then, we must see often that our anger comes from a sense of twisted injustice. We are just saying it's not fair. But anger can be right at times. In Ephesians 4, verse 26, Paul is writing to the church and he says, "Be angry and do not sin." And again in Psalm 4 and verse 4, we are told, "Be angry and do not sin." There are times when anger is allowed. But friends, we have to be so careful, because our hearts can be so deceitful. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I angry at this because I have been aggrieved, because I've been hurt, because my emotions and feelings have been upset? Or am I angry because God has been insulted? Because the honor of Christ is at stake? Because this sin that has been committed is against God? We have to ask ourselves, what is the cause of our anger? What is the cause of your anger? Is it something that God would be angry at? The cause of our anger. But then secondly, we also have the consequences of our anger. The consequences. We're told that the fool gives full vent to his anger, to his wrath. But this comes with a warning. Look at verse 22 of Proverbs 29. We read from it earlier. "A man of wrath stirs up strife." We're in verse 22. "A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to much anger causes much transgression." Anger leads to strife, to a breakdown in relationships, to damaged relationships. And anger causes much transgression. Anger leads to more sin. When anger comes between two parties or two people, those two groups of people are then set against each other. That the angry person stirs up strife. It breaks down relationships. It damages relationships. And friends, we know this to be true. When we are angry at someone, that there's a wedge has come between us. There's an obstacle that's stopping us from getting along with that person. And if that's true out in the world, then how much more so within the church? When two Christians are angry at each other, or when one is angry at the other, there's a dividing wall that has been built up between them. The fellowship between them has been broken and damaged. That there's something wrong with that relationship between Christian brothers and sisters. I wonder if this is why anger is mentioned so much in the letters in the New Testament. In Ephesians 4:26-32, we already read verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin." But in that whole section, and then the last two verses, Ephesians 4:31-32, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Or Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander. These verses fall within the context of Christian unity. It's the family of the church, it's fellowship. And anger is something that breaks up unity and fellowship. It ruins relationships. Ultimately, this ruined relationship is between man and God. When we are angry, our fellowship with our Father in heaven is twisted and damaged. When we are angry, we are in danger of missing out on worshipping God correctly. We read in our service from Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Our fellowship with God is at stake when we are angry. And this is more true for the unbeliever concerning God's anger at sin. God's anger, remember, is justified. His righteous anger is on sin. And we are at fault for the ruined relationship between ourselves and God because we have broken His law. We deserve His anger. We have chosen to do things our own way rather than His way. And God is angry at sin. God is angry at guilty men and women and boys and girls. God has a just and righteous and perfect anger. Christ Jesus said again in Matthew 5:22, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." Because God is angry with us, we are headed to judgment. That's one of the consequences of our anger. It's one of the consequences of us having rebelled against God. We have to remember that most of the time, our anger is not like His anger. Anger ruins relationships. But not only does it ruin relationships, but our anger also leads to further sin. In your anger, do not sin. What does it mean? Well, hateful thoughts towards the person who has upset us. Thoughts of wanting revenge. Thoughts perhaps of even hurting the other person. Those are thoughts that we have when we are angry. We sin in our thinking. We sin in our thoughts when we are angry. Sometimes we go further and we seek to harm the other person by being picky, giving criticism to them. Everything that they do and say, we speak out against them. We try to run down their name, or we're very critical of them face to face. Why did you do it like that? Why are you saying those things? I don't have to listen to you. Anger can cause us to sin, not just in our thoughts, but also in the things that we say to the other person. We resent them. And our words are no longer said in love. In our thoughts, in our words, And other times we just choose to ignore them. We'll remain silent. Just won't even speak to them. We'll give them the cold shoulder. We won't help them. We won't draw alongside them. We won't encourage them. Our actions are not loving actions. In our anger, we can be brought to sin in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. And friends, these are all sinful. And yet how many times in our anger do we excuse them? Well, it's okay for me to do this because it's just not fair. Let's not ignore the truth. Our anger is nearly always sinful anger. It's nearly always a selfish anger. It's an anger that breaks up relationships. It's an anger that leads to further sin. Whoever is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. And this is why Proverbs calls this person a fool. The fool gives full vent to his anger. The fool gives himself over to wrath. We are fools. We are guilty fools before a holy God when our anger takes hold of us. And when we let this anger pour out of us, the consequences of our anger, the cause of our anger, the consequences of our anger. Then thirdly and finally, the calming of our anger. The calming of our anger. There are ways for us to avoid anger, to calm our anger. Look at the wise man of Proverbs 29:11. He quietly holds it back. The word quietly here means to calm, to soothe. It's what Christ Jesus did out on the lake in the storm. He calmed it. Here the wise man calms his anger. He restrains it. He is a man who is slow to anger. And Proverbs gives us several ways to calm or to avoid anger. Proverbs 12, verse 16. Here is one way to quiet our anger. Proverbs 12, 16. The prudent ignores an insult. Ignore it. Ignore that injustice that has been done to you. Most of the time, it's only our sinful pride or our selfish desires that have been affected. Ignore it. Ignore the wrong that you feel that has been committed against you. Ignore it. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Be quick to overlook the wrong that has been committed against you. Overlooking it means forgetting about it. Don't dwell on it. Don't think about it. Don't mull it over in your mind. Overlook it. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Proverbs 22, 24. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways. You want to be able to calm your anger? Avoid angry people. If at all possible, avoid those circumstances that make you angry, if at all possible. Proverbs is saying to us, don't fill your life with anger. Avoid angry people. Avoid those circumstances that make your blood boil. Proverbs 15, verse 1 and verse 18. Proverbs 15, verse 1 and verse 18. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And then verse 18 of Proverbs 15. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. You want to avoid being angry? Then speak in a loving way. When that sense of injustice comes to you, when all you want to do is just shout out, it's not fair, Proverbs says, speak in a loving way. When that person who just makes your blood boil, when they come up to you and when they ask you something ridiculous, when they say something offensive, when you just think, why has God created such a person? Speak in a loving way. Proverbs 29 verse 11 that we've been looking at. It's possible to read this verse as saying that the wise man holds back the anger of the fool. He quiets the anger of the fool. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a quiet man or a wise man quietly holds it back. He holds back the anger of the fool. A gentle word, a soft answer, speak in love. Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. How do we avoid being angry? Be slow to anger. The best way to be slow to anger is what we've been thinking about throughout the service. It's what we've been singing about in the Psalms. Consider Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who had every right to be angry at sin. What did he do? He willingly went to the cross. He endured suffering for us because of our sin. He has set the example. The one who showed us in the temple that he possessed holy and just anger is the same one who willingly endured the punishment of God because of what we have done. Be slow to anger. Consider Christ. And be slow to anger in considering Christ, because in Christ Jesus we have been forgiven so much. What right do we have when we feel slighted or hurt? When we feel that someone has done something unjust or unjust to us? How can we be angry with someone else when we have been forgiven so much? In Christ Jesus, all our sin is dealt with. And our anger has been dealt with in Christ. Our entire debt is cancelled. It's been wiped out in Jesus Christ on the cross. And then we get angry over someone because of the smallest little detail. When we start to feel ourselves getting angry, remind yourself how much you have been forgiven. Remember that the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Therefore, let us be slow to anger. Quietly hold it back. A fool lets out his anger, but the wise person calms it down. Friends, in your anger, do not sin. Consider Christ. Amen.